We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky, and at my right hand I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
And I should have mentioned that I am coming to you courtesy of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Duathans, Illinois, and Trinity, and Darmstadt, Illinois. And Matt, how about you? How is it that you get to be here?
I am coming to you courtesy of Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
And this is
Wrestling with the Basics.
Okay. Well, Matt, we have finally come to the conclusion of the top 10 Bible verses as determined by the sturdy crowd there. I'm assuming they're sturdy. I don't know where that word came from, actually.
Stout-hearted.
The stout-hearted people of Ascension there in South St. Louis. So I tell you what, let's do this. Let's build up to it. If you want to start reading them, and then we'll finally... Now, wait a second, because you usually kind of tease us. Are you want to tease us about the number one?
I think this will be a tease enough.
Okay.
Let's do this in true top 10 list style, where we count down from number 10 all the way down to number one. And hopefully, even if especially if our listeners have listened the past few weeks, the past 9 weeks, in fact, some of them sound familiar to you. And even if you were to choose your top 10 passages, hopefully some of these would make your list too. Maybe not. If you have others that didn't make the list, hey, let us know.
Email us. Let us know.
We'd
even talk about your top Bible passages. We could do that.
Yeah, we could even get enough. We could do, you know, some of the top verses of Wrestling with the Basics. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. All right. Well, let's start then.
All right.
So here it is. Okay. You want me to do the first one?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and do number 10.
Number 10, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
And number 9, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says Jesus.
Number 8, Psalm 51:10-12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit.
Number 7, another psalm, Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Number 6, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge, and he will make your path straight.
And number 5 is Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Number 4, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Number 3, Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Number 2, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
And finally, the number one best loved Bible passage is Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
All right.
Thanks for that appropriate fanfare for these weeks of buildup. Here we are.
That's right. And now, you know, I'm still thinking this is a rigged deal. You know, I that wouldn't have been my number one Bible passage. I would have gone for John 3:16, for God's love of the world. The Lord is my shepherd. But you tell me now, there is no hanging chads. No stuffing the ballot box. This is actually of the people. This was the verse that...
This is legitimate, and this is not my own choosing It is the work of people of Ascension.
And well, we know it's not your own choosing, because what was your passage, actually, was your confirmation?
Well, yeah, I had a couple favorites in here that certainly I voted for. The Joshua 1, verse 9 happens to be my confirmation verse. That made the top 10 list. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the verse that was read at my wedding, and the message was based on that. So that made the list.
Wait a second. I'm really beginning to suspect. I wonder about this now that all of these passages of yours happen to show up on here. And now, of course, the one of the fundamental passages for us as Lutheran pastors, Ephesians 2. I don't know. There may be an electoral investigation here. The election committee may have to do some investigating.
I assure you it is all legitimate. It's all legit. The up and up.
Okay.
But the funny thing is, and I shared this with our congregation when I preached on this passage, it's been a secret to our listeners. You're wrestling with the basics. It was a secret to our worshipers at Ascension. But I did share with John before number one was preached on, it came up that it was Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Maybe it was in a moment of weakness when I told him. But
it was the pie I offered you.
I was bribed. I could have turned down the pie. But the first thing out of his mouth was, Pastor Jolly John's mouth was, "Oh, that's such a Lutheran verse." Like, almost disappointed. But I agree. It is such, in some ways, a Lutheran verse. And, you know, my hope would be a Christian verse, this verse.
Well, it is in the Bible.
Well, yes.
It's not like it's in Luther's works or something.
Exactly. Yes. It's free to all. Exactly. And it's about that freedom. It's about grace. It's about God's grace. And really, it's one of those verses that I think helps to show what is really at the heart of what we believe and teach and confess as Christians and Lutheran Christians, saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. But then also, I think it's a verse that helps show how Christianity is distinct from other, from world religions. Yeah, that Christianity, the faith, is distinct from world religions. Because when you look at the other world religions, they all cater to this desire that we have to make salvation something that we do, or at least something, maybe not we do fully, but something we at least contribute to. It just seems to be this innate human desire. And I think it's really this sinful desire that our sinful nature wants to somehow contribute to our salvation, to our forgiveness, to our life everlasting. And I think it's really at the root of that is pride, to think that in some way I can do something. Maybe not to do everything for forgiveness.
Well, of course, we can't do everything.
Yeah, not everything, but I can do my little, share.
We have to have God's help with, obviously. We can't do it on our own.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's got to be something, really.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have to?
Sure. Yeah. But, you know, and I think that takes its form in so many different ways. Certainly when we look at things like the pillars of Islam or this Eightfold Path of Buddhism, you know, different things to be done in order to be really assured of salvation or nirvana or whatever label you want to use. But I think as Christians, too, we have that temptation, certainly, to think that even as Christians, something that we do.
Well, of course.
Or say.
What are you saying? I mean, you got to go to church. You have to say your prayers. I mean, little fundamental things like that you got
to
do.
Yeah, listen to the rest of the basics. All those things.
Of course.
It's all a few extra points,
the big
right?
three. Go to church, pray, and listen to the rest of the basics.
But it's almost logical, though, isn't it?
Well, it feels right. It feels right, doesn't it, Matt?
It feels right. I'm doing something to make myself right before God. I'm doing something to make God happy. Yeah, maybe he's helping me out with it, but still I'm contributing. I'm doing my part. I'm earning my points. But no, this verse flies in the face of that. And I love how Paul, he restates even what he said in case we didn't get the first time. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, okay, people? It is the gift of God. And in case you didn't get it, it's not a result of works, okay? Not your works, so that no one may boast. I mean, just in two verses there, Paul tries to drive that point home. And rightly so, because I think we're so hard-headed about it when it comes to that. Here's just kind of a for instance. There was a Barna Group poll a few years ago, and this poll that they conducted showed that 72% of the general U.S. population thinks that it's possible to earn your way to heaven through good behavior.
Is that right?
72% of the general population.
Right. What did the other?
That's everyone.
What did the other 28% believe?
Well, I would assume that. Well, I didn't state explicitly, but okay. I would assume that no, we cannot earn our way to heaven through good behavior. And maybe it was a matter of faith for some of them. Maybe it was a matter of who knows what else. Maybe they don't believe in a heaven either.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm wondering.
So that's not to say the other, remaining 28% are good Lutheran people, right? That you know, no, not maybe not. Who knows? But could be agnostic, atheists, and just don't believe in heaven at all. So that's a pretty...
That's a pretty big percentage.
Wherever you slice it.
So you know what my answer to that is?
Yeah,
Barnett, quit taking those surveys.
You're just bothering us.
We don't like the results.
Sheesh.
I'm sorry.
Well, here, I'm going to share another survey result. But those who identified as they put it, born again Christians, they found that 53% were open, or at least somewhat open, to the notion of earning salvation through their deeds.
Okay.
So even among Christians, now we're not talking about the general population, just Christians, 53% think that, yeah, they're open to the idea if I can earn my salvation fully, or at least in part, by what I do. Why do we have such a hard time understanding the words of Ephesians 2?
But see, I understand exactly, though, because the fear is if I would say to you what Paul says, and we actually believed what Paul says, then you wouldn't do any good works, Matt. That's what it was. If I told you you didn't need to do any good works, then you wouldn't do any good works. We got to have at least a little bit of law there, a little bit of threat. Otherwise, people will just sit on their butts all the time and never, ever do any good or kindly thing.
And that's been the fear for centuries. And Paul talks about that, right? Even in Romans, he talks about, should we go on sinning that grace may abound?
Let's sin some more.
If we've got grace, let's sin some more. If we've got grace, well, we don't need to go to church. We don't need to do things. We don't need to help our neighbor.
He's going to forgive us anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it matters. Yeah. And that's the concern. That's the care. So there's got to be a little bit of something. So I think we need to take this verse out. I'm sorry. You're going to have to redo the whole survey, apparently, because we just need to eliminate that verse from the Bible.
Well, we'll just bump the other verses up.
Okay.
So that's number one becomes number 10. Number two becomes
number
one.
We'll work that out in terms of what'll be the new number 10.
No. What? Do not do that. No. It's that we just have a right understanding of why we go to church or why we love our neighbor, why we do those things.
Let me actually start with another understanding, though, before we get to that. See, you have to have an understanding of yourself, because if you actually believe the other thing the Bible teaches, that we're born in sin and conceived in iniquity, as Paul says in Romans, no one is good, no, not one, then you realize the supposedly good things you thought you were doing really, as Isaiah says, are just like filthy rags in the sight of God.
Yeah.
So these things that you've proposed that, I have to do these to be part of my salvation, you realize, nope, if that's why you're doing them, then they're not good at all. In fact, they are damnable sins. That's what they are. And it's hard for us to comprehend that because we want to be nice. We're trying to do good things. But the biblical picture is, nope, if they're not done as a fruit of faith, then they are actually evil and wicked, because that's all that can come from us is sin. If we're sinners, we're sinners. Nothing we do is going to be good.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who are very good, kind. Well, and even an atheist, for instance. Some of these, there's no God at all. They're not.
And yet they can be decent people.
Exactly. And most probably are pretty good, decent people. They're not.
Well, not all of them.
Not all.
I know a couple of atheists I can tell you about, but we won't go into that.
But again, very, could be charitable, ethical, all these other things used to describe perhaps an atheist. Wonderful things. But again, as you pointed out, apart from faith, though, no, those are just filthy rags. No good work apart from Christ.
And that's hard for us to comprehend. But actually, as a parent, I understand exactly what's going on there. Because if my kid does something because he's afraid I'm going to punish me, if that's his motivation, that he's afraid of what God's going to do to him, I don't like that. I don't like my kids doing things just because they're afraid of me. And yet, by the same token, if my kids do something and say, hey, Dad, I took out the trash, how about give me a little extra allowance that's not a good work either. You're just doing it because you want something. That isn't really being done with a good and righteous heart. So, yeah, that's the problem. If it's not done purely out of faith, then it's not going to be a good work in the sight of God.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, I mean, even our this verse too speaks.
Matt, by the way, has got his Bible out, so be ready.
Watch out.
Okay, watch out.
This verse, all about gift from God, that faith, you know, and by grace through faith. But then also what wasn't left, what wasn't included in that top verse that I read earlier was verse 10 then. It goes on and Paul says, "For we are created in his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So, I mean, these verses are all about just a gift from God, faith and the grace shown in Christ. And even the good works that we do are gifts from God,
yes.
Paul is saying. God's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So even as those who are forgiven, the people of God, even those good works we do still are a gift from God, his work in our life, him working through us in our life. So anyway, in answer to your question,
yes.
Okay, well, why do we need to go to church? Why are we doing good things if it's grace? Well, again, those good things, not the reason for our salvation, but they're the result of our salvation. Now, having been saved by God's grace through faith in Christ, then we want to serve the neighbor just out of thankfulness. That's because who we are. That's who we are as God's people. We love as God first loved us, not to earn points into heaven, but no, just because that's who we are as his people. Wherever God's placed us in that various calling, vocation, whatever we want to call it, we love and we serve others. We do those good works that he's prepared for us to do.
And I like that thought, too, that he prepared them. Again, as you said, even those works really aren't our works. They're the works that are coming by the working of his Holy Spirit in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit gets there as we come to understand the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length of the love of God for us, or to put it simply, the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus Christ. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe people think that when it comes to grace, maybe another thing is that it's almost too good to be true.
It is too good to be true.
It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. To earn our way to heaven would make sense, but no, that's not it. God has done it all for us. Too good to be true. If there's no such thing as a free lunch, then it stands to reason there's no such thing as free salvation. But yet there is. Incredible. There's a little story I want to tell.
Sure.
Okay, so there's this man dies and he goes to heaven, all right? And St. Peter, of course, meets him at the pearly gates, as is the case usually when someone dies and goes to heaven, in jokes at least. And St. Peter says, okay, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and for each thing, I'll give you a certain amount of points, depending on how good it was. So when you get up to 100 points, you're in.
Then you're in. Okay.
Okay, the man says. And he thinks about it. He says, well, I was married to the same woman for over 50 years, always faithful to her, loved her deeply. That's wonderful, says St. Peter. That's worth 2 points.
All right.
And the man says, 2 points? That's 50 years of marriage.
Come on.
Come on, St. Peter. So he protests. And he thinks about it some more. He says, well, I attended church all my life, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I supported its ministry with my tithes, with my work. Terrific, says St. Peter. That's worth 1 point.
Well, wait a second.
That's what the man said. Wait a second.
All right. Yeah.
1 point. He complains again. He said, well, I started a soup kitchen in my town. I worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic, St. Peter says. That's good for another 2 points. 2 points. Exasperated. Finally,
we're up to 5 now?
I know. We're at 5 points. Okay. And it sounds like he's run out of good things to report on. So the man cries out.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories,
I was getting
here's
the point.
A good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I just had to use that. Okay.
We're
now
to
the point.
Just itching to use that sound effect. Itching. Okay, so the man's exasperated. He cries out, at this rate, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God. And St. Peter says, bingo, come on in. You know, okay. Cute joke.
Wait a second.
There we go. Yes. You know,
are even better.
Yes, that's what I've been saying.
There we go.
Thank you.
All right.
So the grace of God. But, and I like the joke and a good illustration, but it doesn't even go far enough when you really think about it, because when we're talking about salvation, we're talking about heaven itself. No, being married to the same person even for over 50 years is not even worth 2 points. You know, going to church every week, not even worth 1 point. You know, working at soup kitchen, not even worth 2 points. No, when it comes to salvation, it is entirely the grace of God. Again, by grace through faith in Christ. You know, and again, here in these words, Paul makes it clear. Salvation is not a reward from God, you know, for something good we've done. It's not a wage from God, something that we've earned. No, it's a gift. Entirely, 100% a gift from God.
And I want to emphasize, to read that verse one more time, if you would, Matt.
Sure. 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God.
Yeah, because see, it's interesting, I think there's probably a lot of people that would agree with us that yes, it is by faith, and maybe you guys are overemphasizing it more than what you need to, but okay, yeah, it is all by grace and faith, and thank God that I've decided that I'm going to believe in that. That I've made my choice to follow sure. the Lord in that thought and that teaching. And yet, there it is too. See, that's a sin as well, because no, faith, again, is not something you do. As he says quite clearly, it is the gift of God, not of your works. Even the faith itself is something that the Lord bestows upon us. So it's that much totally, completely grace that there literally is nothing, absolutely nothing we do. It's all the work of God.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I think that's a great point. A lot of people say, well, yeah, it is faith. It's not works. I got that. That's grace. But grace even goes beyond that in some respects. That no, even the faith that we have is a gift from God. Yep. That's even by God's grace. And if we go further, step further, you know, that he has chosen us, you know, as the Bible says, even before the foundation of the world.
There you go.
That he has chosen us. Why? I don't know. I have no idea. But I rejoice that he has, that he's given me this gift of faith by his grace. This faith in Christ, and now I'm free. I'm just set free. It's so, you know, I don't have to worry about salvation. I don't have to worry about if I'm going to heaven or not, or what I have to do, or what I have to decide. No, I'm set free to do those good works, to worship, to do all those other things we've talked about.
And you know what's neat, Matt, is like you said, we don't know how, we don't know why he chose us, but we do know that he did. That's the beautiful thing, because we're getting to hear the message right now. We're getting to hear the gospel, and that's how God shows his choice, by proclaiming the gospel to people, by baptizing them, by inviting them to come and eat at his table, the body and blood of his given and shed for us. So it's kind of funny, like you say, why would God choose you and me? I have no idea. It just shows he's got a sense of humor.
Saturday morning.
But the nice thing is we do know that, and everyone listening to us knows that, because it's God saying to you right now, you're saved by grace. He did it. Yeah. It's all his work.
Yeah. That's salvation. So, I mean, just to summarize, salvation, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. And salvation is that most precious gift ever given. Salvation is that gift given at the manger, given at the cross, given at the empty tomb.
Given,
as you pointed out in the words of absolution, given in baptism, given in the Lord's Supper.
Did I do anything? Yes, I did do something that drove Jesus to the cross, but it wasn't anything good I did. It was because of my sins that he was driven to the cross.
Yeah. Salvation is a gift given to undeserving sinners, undeserving people like you and me and everyone, by that gracious, loving God. And I think that's a good way. I can't think of a better way, in fact, to end this series we've been doing on the top 10 passages of the Bible, that all of these words that we've looked at are words from God, words from this loving, gracious God who loved us and showed his grace to us in sending his son Jesus to be that one who makes salvation possible for us.
And you know what, Matt? See, thank you for, I hadn't thought about it. Really, everything we've been talking up to this point is summarized by Ephesians 2, isn't it? All the passages from Joshua, from the Psalms, none of those would make any sense except for the fact that we are saved by grace through faith.
That's right. That's at the heart. That's at the center of it all.
Well, blessings to all of you, and we invite you to turn in and listen to more Wrestling with the Basics next Saturday at 9:05.